I'm Father Jim, and I've been asked if I might share a few things with you in a number of programs about prayer. One of the great ways of praying is called Lectio Divina. It's a very ancient form of prayer that suits all temperaments. First of all, you take something inspiring. It might be a word or two of the Lord, it might be a sunset, it might be a blade of grass, might be a picture, a sculpture, and really you marinate, you soak in it. So the first thing is lectio, where you read and actually take in the words, or you see the beauty of the blade of grass, or you hear some music. You use the senses, that's called lectio. Then the next stage of prayer would be to meditate, meditatio, where you muse about it, you think about it, you appreciate that beautiful word or thing or person. The third stage is oratio, pray. You speak quietly, you respond to the beauty or to the inspiration. And then fourthly, it's contemplatio, where you just are with this word or this beautiful thing, not active, just relaxing and being there. We're all contemplatives, naturally. It's natural for a human person to be a contemplative. And it's not just something for old religious men and women. I remember I was in a school once and they were watching these infants, little chicks hatching from their shells. They had an incubator there. And there was a profound silence of wonder, ruined by the teacher. So I said, no, let's thank Jesus for all these chicks. Well, but, I mean, they were already in prayer, but she felt she had to sort of bring in Jesus by the scruff of the neck. Contemplatio is just being with. It's like sunbathing in God's love. And I thought I'd hang these talks by giving an example of Lectio Divina, and I was going to think of a poem by Khalil Gibran, who was a Lebanese mystic. And a series of poems are in a book called The Prophet, and you can find it on the website. If you look up Khalil Gibran, The Prophet, you'll find the whole book. And the chapter that I'll be thinking about is called On Friendship. And you might like to help yourself to a copy, because next week I'll start looking at this poem. But first of all, just for this week, I'd like to say something about the word friend. For me, the word friend is the most important word in the world. I think it's more important than husband and wife, who may or may not ever get round to becoming friends. But when a husband says of his wife, she's my greatest friend, I think, oh, you have said something. Sadly, we often use the word friend in rather a shallow sense. Two film stars seen out dining together. Gossip, 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 gossip. And their remark might be, oh no, we're just good friends. To me, it's very sad that this word should be used in such a trivial way, because it is the word our Lord chose to use in his last will and testament, in John's Gospel, chapter 15. I call you friends, he says. And he gives three reasons why he calls us friends. First of all, because I've chosen you, your choice. Secondly, because I've revealed everything to you. I've told you my story. And thirdly, I die for you. So let me just look at those three aspects of a friend. First of all, choice. Some cultures have arranged marriages, but you can't have an arranged friendship, because the essence of friendship is to choose your friend. And if we don't keep choosing a friend, the friendship will die. Oh, what a wonderful thing to be chosen. Many people in the world have never been chosen for anything. When I was 10, I was so fat I couldn't get into ordinary clothes. And my mother, being rather a snob, used to go to their fashionable shop in London called Harrods. And I'd be standing there in the gents' outfitting department. And the tailor would be walking a big circle round me with his tape measure. And various other mothers would come in with their boys. They'd all look at me, and the mother would more or less say, "If you eat too many Mars bars, you'll end up like that." I can hoot with laughter about it now. But at the time, it was a very humiliating experience. And we used to have football twice a week at the boarding school I was at when I was 10. 22 of us were in the pool in the middle, and the master would choose two captains, and they'd start picking sides. Jones, Barnes, Collingwood, Cumming. And every week, twice a week, for 2 years, I and a boy who was even fatter than me, he was called Spam, we used to be left till last, because 2 into 22 went 10 times, and 2 over. And he and I were then put in the opposite goal mouths to be goalkeepers, on the principle that if he or I were in the goal, there's less likelihood of a ball getting past us. Again, it's very funny. But at the time, it was an exercise in being not chosen. Well, we're all choice. The Lord is crazy about us. He sees each one of us as an original and absolutely unique work of art that the Father hasn't completed yet. Quite irreplaceable. And I think we've been created in some ways to make heaven heaven for him. And if any of us decline the invitation, the Lord is going to have an eternal heartache, because there's one unique gift the Father wanted to present to him that's missing. A special chosen person. So let's notice people who choose us. And let's treasure that. And then we'll understand what he meant by saying, "I call you friend because I've chosen you."